And welcome to your GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. Today, we're diving into biological psychology, specifically the biological explanations of aggression. By the end of this episode, you'll understand how the brain, hormones, and genetics explain aggressive behaviour, and you'll know exactly how to write about it in your exam to pick up every single mark. So, let's get started. The big idea behind biological psychology is this. Our behaviour, including aggression, is shaped by physical processes inside our bodies. Neurons firing, hormones surging, brain structures activating, genes being expressed. This is the biological approach, and it contrasts directly with Freud's psychodynamic theory, which we'll come back to later. Let's begin with the building blocks. The neuron. A neuron is a specialised nerve cell that transmits information throughout the nervous system. You need to know the key parts. The cell body, or soma, which contains the nucleus, the dendrites, which receive incoming signals from other neurons, the axon, which carries the electrical impulse away from the cell body, the myelin sheath, a fatty layer that insulates the axon and speeds up transmission, and the axon terminals at the end, where signals are passed on. Now, how does information actually travel between neurons? This is where synaptic transmission comes in. When an electrical impulse reaches the axon terminal, it triggers the release of chemical messengers called neurotransmitters. These are stored in tiny sacs called synaptic vesicles. The neurotransmitters are released into the synaptic cleft. That's the tiny gap between two neurons, and they bind to receptor sites on the postsynaptic neuron. This either excites the next neuron, making it more likely to fire, or inhibits it, making it less likely to fire. Key neurotransmitters you need to know include serotonin, which is generally associated with mood regulation and inhibiting aggression, and dopamine, which is linked to reward and motivation. Low serotonin levels have been associated with increased aggression. Remember that, it's a classic exam point. Now, what about recreational drugs? Drugs work by interfering with this synaptic transmission process. Some drugs, like SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, block the reabsorption of serotonin, keeping it active in the synapse longer. Other drugs, like cocaine, block dopamine reuptake, flooding the synapse with dopamine. Stimulants can increase neural activity, while depressants slow it down. Examiners love questions about how drugs affect the CNS, so make sure you can explain the mechanism clearly. Let's move on to brain structure. The prefrontal cortex is the area of the brain located right at the front, behind your forehead. It's responsible for decision-making, impulse control, and regulating emotional responses. When the prefrontal cortex is damaged or underactive, a person may struggle to control aggressive impulses. This is directly relevant to our classic study, Rain et al. From 1997, which we'll look at in detail shortly. Other important brain regions include the amygdala, which processes emotions, including fear and aggression, and the hippocampus, which is involved in memory and learning. Rain found abnormal activity in all of these regions in his sample of murderers. Now, let's talk about hormones. Hormones are chemical messengers released by glands into the bloodstream. The hormone most associated with aggression is testosterone, produced mainly in the testes in males, but also in smaller amounts in females. Researchers found a positive correlation between testosterone levels and aggressive behaviour. For example, studies have shown that male prisoners convicted of violent crimes tend to have higher testosterone levels than those convicted of non-violent crimes. However, and this is crucial for your evaluation, correlation does not equal causation. Just because two things are related doesn't mean one causes the other. Maybe aggressive behaviour causes testosterone to rise, rather than the other way around. This is a point examiners really want to see you make. Now, what about evolution? The evolutionary explanation argues that aggression evolved because it was adaptive. It helped our ancestors survive and reproduce. Natural selection favoured individuals who could compete successfully for resources, mates, and territory. Aggression, in this view, is a product of millions of years of evolution. Darwin's theory of natural selection underpins this. Traits that increase survival and reproductive success are passed on to future generations. This links neatly to twin and adoption studies, which try to separate the influence of genes from the environment. If identical twins, who share 100% of their DNA, show more similar levels of aggression than non-identical twins, who share only 50%, this suggests a genetic component to aggression. Now let's look at the classic study, Rain et al. 1997. Rain and his colleagues wanted to investigate whether murderers who pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity, that's NGRI, had different brain activity compared to non-murderers. They used a PET scan, a positron emission tomography scan, which measures brain activity by tracking a radioactive glucose tracer called FDG. The sample consisted of 41 murderers pleading NGRI and 41 matched controls, matched for age and sex. All participants were injected with FDG and completed a continuous performance task for 32 minutes while being scanned. The findings were striking. The murderers showed reduced activity in the prefrontal cortex, responsible for impulse control, as well as abnormal activity in the amygdala, thalamus, and hippocampus. There were also unusual asymmetries in the hippocampus and amygdala. Rain concluded that these brain differences were associated with violent behaviour, providing support for the biological explanation of aggression. This is a landmark study because it used objective, scientific brain imaging to link brain structure to behaviour. How do you evaluate this study? Strengths include the use of an objective brain scanning technique, the matched control group, which reduces confounding variables, and the large sample of 82 participants. However, weaknesses include the fact that it's correlational. We can't conclude that brain differences caused the murders. The sample was also very specific, murderers pleading NGRI, so we can't generalise to all violent individuals. There are also ethical concerns about using brain scans to label people as potential criminals. Now let's compare the biological explanation with Freud's psychodynamic explanation. Sigmund Freud proposed that the human mind has three parts: the id, which contains our primitive instincts and desires, including aggression; the ego, which is the rational, conscious part of the mind; and the superego, which represents our moral conscience. Freud believed aggression arises from the id, and that the ego and superego work to control it. He also proposed catharsis, the idea that releasing pent-up aggression through safe outlets like sport or art reduces the likelihood of actual aggressive behaviour. The key difference is that the biological explanation focuses on physical mechanisms, brain structure, hormones, genetics, while the psychodynamic explanation focuses on unconscious mental processes. Examiners will often ask you to compare these two approaches, so make sure you can articulate that distinction clearly. Now let's briefly look at the contemporary studies. Li et al., published in 2013, investigated the role of genetics in aggression using a meta-analysis of twin studies. Their findings supported a significant genetic component to aggression, with heritability estimates suggesting genes account for around 50% of the variance in aggression. This supports the biological explanation. Brengen et al. From 2005 used a twin study to look at physical versus social aggression in children. They found that physical aggression had a stronger genetic component, while social aggression, things like spreading rumours, was more influenced by the environment. This is a really nuanced finding that shows not all aggression is the same. Van den Over et al. 2008 investigated drug cue-induced relapse in rats, looking at how drug-associated memories are stored in the brain. This links to biological psychology by demonstrating how brain structures like the prefrontal cortex are involved in controlling impulses, relevant to understanding how biological factors influence behaviour. Finally, let's talk about research methods in biological psychology. Correlational research is a key method here. A correlation measures the relationship between two covariables, for example, testosterone levels and aggression scores. You need to be able to interpret scatter diagrams, understand positive and negative correlations, and crucially, explain why correlation does not imply causation. This is one of the most commonly tested methodological points. Brain scanning techniques, CAT, PET, and fMRI, are also essential knowledge. A CAT scan uses X-rays to produce structural images of the brain. A PET scan measures brain activity using radioactive tracers. An fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, measures blood flow to detect which brain areas are active in real time. Each has strengths and limitations in terms of spatial resolution, temporal resolution, invasiveness, and cost.
Right, now for the section you've all been waiting for, exam tips and common mistakes. First, the correlation versus causation trap. This is the number one mistake candidates make in biological psychology questions. If a question asks you to evaluate a correlational study, you must state that correlation does not establish causation. Just because testosterone levels correlate with aggression doesn't mean testosterone causes aggression. Always make this point explicitly. Examiners are looking for it. Second, when evaluating brain scanning techniques, don't just say they're good because they're scientific. Be specific. For fMRI, say it has good spatial resolution and is non-invasive. For PET scans, mention they require radioactive tracers, which raises ethical concerns. For CAT scans, note they only show structure, not function. Specific evaluation earns marks. Vague evaluation does not. Third, reductionism. Biological explanations reduce complex behaviour to simple physical causes. Examiners want you to recognise this as a limitation. Human aggression is influenced by social, cultural, and psychological factors too. Fourth, when comparing biological and psychodynamic explanations, use comparative language. Don't just describe each one separately. Say things like, whereas the biological approach explains aggression through brain structure, the psychodynamic approach focuses on unconscious conflicts between the id and superego. Fifth, for Rain et al., make sure you know the specific brain regions, prefrontal cortex, amygdala, thalamus, hippocampus, and what each one does. Saying the brain was different is not enough. Now, quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, give you a moment to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What is the name of the gap between two neurons? The synaptic cleft. Question 2. Which brain area is responsible for impulse control and decision making? The prefrontal cortex. Question 3. In Rain et al. 1997, how many murderers were in the sample? 41 murderers matched against 41 controls. Question 4. What does fMRI stand for? Functional magnetic resonance imaging. Question 5. According to Freud, what is catharsis? The release of pent-up aggression through safe outlets, which reduces the likelihood of actual aggression behaviour. Question 6. Name one contemporary study and its key finding. Lee et al. 2013 found that genes account for approximately 50% of the variance in aggressive behaviour. How did you do? Right, let's wrap up. Here are the key points from today's episode. Biological psychology explains behaviour through physical mechanisms, neurons, neurotransmitters, brain structure, hormones, and genetics. The neuron is the basic unit of the nervous system. Synaptic transmission involves neurotransmitters crossing the synaptic cleft to bond to receptor sites. Drugs interfere with this process. The prefrontal cortex regulates impulse control. Reduced activity here is linked to aggression. The amygdala processes emotions. The hippocampus is involved in memory. Testosterone is positively correlated with aggression, but correlation does not equal causation. Evolution explains aggression as an adaptive behaviour that enhanced survival and reproduction. Wayne et al. 1997 used PET scans to show brain differences in murderers, reduced prefrontal cortex activity and abnormal activity in the amygdala, thalamus and hippocampus. The biological explanation contrasts with Freud's psychodynamic explanation, which focuses on the id, ego, superego and catharsis. Research methods include correlational studies, brain scanning, CAT, PET, fMRI, and twin and adoption studies. And that's it for today. You've covered the entire biological psychology topic. My top tip before your exam, make sure you can evaluate every study and every explanation. Knowledge alone gets you to the lower mark bands. It's your ability to assess, compare, and judge that gets you to the top. Practice writing evaluative paragraphs using the phrase, however, this is limited because, and always finish with a conclusion. Good luck in your exams. You've got this. Until next time, keep revising, keep questioning, and keep being curious. Bye for now.